Side Shield delivered Connor McDavid for Oiler fans yet, but yesterday in the Green Zone, hockey analyst Drew Amenda was back weighing in on this latest Connor McDavid comment from the Elliot Friedman podcast, where Elliot asked, what's going to take for Connor to stay in Edmonton? Here's what Connor said.
You know, truthfully, what do I need to see? I guess the answer is nothing. You know, all the pieces are here for 25-26. It's going to be a feeling. It's going to be, when the time's right, the moment's right, I think it'll just be a feeling. But as of right now, just excited to get the season going, really.
That interview had a lot of fans and hockey experts wondering now if Connor will sign through, or rather sail through, this last year of his contract without signing a new one at all. And Drew Amenda's take?
It will be later rather than sooner. I think it'll be later in the season if he signs. Guys, I think that what matters to him is one thing and one thing only. First of all, he put a lot of emphasis on preparing for the Olympics. That's obviously huge for him. And it has been. He's been one of the driving forces in the NHL Player Association to get back to the Olympics, because he's never played there, obviously. And he gets to play with the best. Now, I do think the next thing for him, is it's 1 and 1A, is a Stanley Cup. The windows close. They close eventually. And he's looking at it as, I want to win a cup, period, end of discussion. And he loves Edmonton. He loves playing with those guys. And why wouldn't you? It's a hell of a team. But he has, as he put it, and so does Zach Hyman, he deserves this opportunity to see where it's going. He's earned this through his play with the Edmonton Oilers and through his time in the league. So I think it's a later signing, if he signs at all. I think when you look at it, in the last couple of times, the things I've read with Connor saying, I'm going, maybe he is just going to wait this thing out and see how that team is and what the future brings, or what the future can be for the Edmonton Oilers.
Drew Amenda on the Green Zone yesterday. I still think he's going to sign. Hey, the Riders may actually encourage tailgate parties next season. Apparently, the province is confirming it is collaborating with the Riders to legalize tailgating in Mosaic. And since tailgating normally includes refreshments and food, that they say some public safety issues would then come into play as they try to figure this out. But Regina Mayor Chapochinski admits the city will need to work on some bylaws if they're going to do this, and discussions will have to take place. The Riders right now say the tailgate spaces would be offered first to season ticket holders. But stateside, you know, they bring their own barbecues, their own food, their own drink. They set up tents. It's a party that goes on for hours before the big game, which is cool, right? Will the Riders allow all that, though? Or will they want to control it with the city and the province? In other words, are they just going to set up a food truck and sell drinks in the parking lot? That's not true tailgating. And they're not saying they're going to do that. I'm just suggesting that that's one possibility. I'd like to go over this with the mayor. And he will join me for his in-studio visit right after the 7:30 news this morning. The mayor is going to be here. And I'll also ask him a question that was posed to me earlier in the week from one of our listeners on a text. He was wanting to know if it's true that the city is using drones when it comes to bylaw infractions. I don't know anything about this, so I'll ask the mayor about that too. Tough night for Jays fans. They fell 2-1 to the Rays, ending their 6-game winning streak. Yankees beat Minnesota, so the Jays now hold only a 4-game lead in the AL East. Joining me now, the biggest Jays fan I know, Andrew Shepard. What did you say?
Only a 4-game lead.
Well, what do they need? 6, you said, to clinch?
It's not the lead they need. It was their magic number, won. So now that would be, I think, down to 5 now.
Okay. Well, didn't they lose last night?
Yes, they lost last night. Yeah. You're right.
Jays fan.
The magic number thing always confuses me, because then it also counts if, like, New York loses, but they won. So I think it's still at 6.
Okay, fine. Hey, look, there are a couple city issues that I wanted to discuss with you here this morning. First and foremost is, originally we heard that, you know, after that heavy rain, some poop may have run off from the system into the creek, but no longer the case.
Yeah, they originally told us Monday after all that that stormy weather, 1.3 million liters was released into Wascana Creek, that it sort of overwhelmed the wastewater system. Turns out that never actually happened. The city told us yesterday that it had received some high alarms indicating that a bypass was imminent, and they thought that this was released, and then they went and they analyzed it, took a closer look, and realized that the system did actually have the capacity, so no wastewater was released.
Okay, and this is not a new story to us here in Regina. There are some areas of the city where a lead in the water is a lot higher than it should be.
Yeah,
but this latest story is quite compelling.
Yeah, this is someone in the cathedral area, which we knew they have those older pipes, and there's a bit of an issue there, and there's a program in place to upgrade the infrastructure. It's called the Lead Service Connection Management Program. A woman spoke at Executive Committee, which is kind of the committee before they get to the, before everything's passed at city at council, and told them that she tested her water, and some tests came back with lead levels 30 times higher than what Health Canada considers safe. So at Executive Committee, they gave the green light to put it toward council to make it so that more people can get money back to either replace their lead pipes on their home or get more money to filter the lead out of their water.
Okay, and of course, tailgating is another topic. The city has to go through some bylaws, and it is something I'll bring up to Mayor Chad Pashinsky, who's here after the 7:30 news. So we'll get in a little deeper onto that topic, but tailgating next season, that might be interesting for a lot of Rider fans. Think more fans would be interested in going then if they could bring the party?
Yeah, it's been talked about and brought up kind of from time to time, and we just haven't really figured out how to do it here in Canada, I guess. I mean, we've got a bad history of impaired driving in this province, so you got to find a way to do it safe, make sure no one drives away after tailgating. But this came in a nugget to season ticket holders that the riders are working with the province to eventually to work out these public safety issues to allow tailgating could be in place as early as next season.
Okay, and Jimmy Kimmel off the air.
Yeah,
what happened
here? Well, this is after his monologue. He's all the late night hosts. They punch up at the president and made some critiques of the Trump administration and the way they've reacted to Charlie Kirk's assassination and ABC pulled him off the air. This was after ABC the FCC commissioner threatened to pull its parent company's broadcast licenses. And then just now this morning, we find this interesting. The Vice President J.D. Vance just sent out a post on social media saying that Secretary of State Marco Rubio will be the new host.
Stick to politics. Your comedy's kind of lame there, Mr. Vice President. But and then of course Trump. He's happy. He's calling out for Jimmy Fallon. And, of course, Seth Meyers, right?
There's a whole thing with Stephen Colbert because his show is outright canceled. I guess Kimmel's
he was
indefinitely suspended right now. But then, yeah, Trump pointed out he says that leaves Jimmy and Seth. So
yeah, it's ongoing for sure. Thank you, Shep. Andrew Shepard from the 980 CJME Newsroom. Again, Mayor Chad Pashinsky coming up after the 7:30 news. If you have any questions, you can text yours to me now, 1-877-300-7275. That's 1-877-300-7275. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, the RSO's new season is set to launch this weekend. First show out of the entire season features some homegrown talent returning and a little Hollywood mixed together as they celebrate the final season of the Maestro Gordon Gerard. After 10 years, he's leaving. So what sort of celebrations start on Saturday night? We'll find out from the organizers after the 7 o'clock news. A bit of Hollywood coming to the Connexus Arts Center this Saturday night. The Regina Symphony's back for its new season. Samuel Deason is executive director of the RSO and joins me now. And you kind of get the feeling that this opening concert this weekend is going to set the tone for what's to come this season.
Oh, this concert is going to be really special for a number of different reasons. Right off the top, not only this concert, but this season is the final season of our music director, Gordon Gerard. This will be his 10th year with the organization, and we are looking forward to a huge celebration, not only this weekend, but throughout the year, of all he has done to further not only the music and arts community, but the cultural vibrancy of Regina at large.
I imagine there's going to be special guests throughout the year popping in, and this weekend is no exception. Who's coming?
This weekend we are thrilled to welcome to the stage Regina's own trumpet superstar, Karen Donnelly. She'll be performing the concerto by legendary film composer John Williams, who, of course, almost all of your listeners will recognize due to his film scores in Star Wars, Jaws, you know, even Harry Potter. So it's a fantastic opportunity to hear one of Regina's very best musicians come home to take the stage and perform a piece that's sure to really delight. You know, you don't hear it that often, but, you know, John Williams is a musician and composer like no other.
Well, I got to know what the piece is because, yeah, John Williams, I can't place it in my head. What's, from a trumpet standpoint, what's the piece?
Yeah, so John Williams, of course, very famous for all of his movie music. Karen's going to be playing his trumpet concerto. So later on in John Williams' life, and even as recently as this year, he's been busting out concerti, so works for solo instrument plus orchestra that are typically found in really the standard classical repertoire. So not only is John Williams an incredible film score composer, but an incredible orchestrator of classical repertoire as well. The concerto that folks will hear, it kind of sounds like Star Wars in some places, but it's a miraculous discovery to a witness.
All right, John Williams. Well, it's going to be an interesting show this weekend at the Conexus Arts Center. There's still tickets available. The whole season dedicated to Gordon Gerard and his final season here. Has the search for his replacement started yet or not?
Yeah, the search has begun, and we will be announcing a few finalists at the end of the season in May. But this weekend is really the first of many concerts in celebration of all he's done. We're actually opening the doors an hour before the concert. There's going to be some free bubblies, some free goodies. We'd invite all of your listeners to come and join in on the celebration.
All right, we can't go through the entire season, but pick one or two that you're looking forward to celebrate this last year with Gordon.
Keeping on the John Williams train, on December 13th, we're going to be doing Home Alone. So what does an orchestra have to do with a movie? Well, John Williams wrote the film score to Home Alone, and we're going to be performing that movie in Conexus. So massive big screen, folks will be able to watch the movie, but instead of hearing the orchestra track digitally, we'll be performing it live.
That'll be fun. Hit me up one more. What else is coming?
Final concert of the year will be an incredible celebration of Gordon's tenure. Echoes of a Decade, May 9th, we'll be doing Mahler's First Symphony. Incredible masterpiece.
Looks like there's still some tickets left. If anyone wants to go this weekend, what do they do?
Well, you can go to reginasymphony.com. We transition to a brand new ticketing system, so it looks great. Or, you know, show up at the door and we can sort your tickets there. Happy to see everyone.
Samuel, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Evan Bray joining me now ahead of his show at 8:30 here this morning. Staying alive. Well, it's kind of the underlying message of where you're going to be tonight. Good cause.
That's right. Uncover the Cure. It's our radio station is proud to host this event every year, basically raising money and awareness about prostate cancer, which we know 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their life. So it's important. We have raised over the years, this has been going on for a number of years, $1.3 million. So this is in conjunction with our friends at the Regina Hospitals Foundation and Hospitals of Regina Foundation. We'll have Dino Sophocleous there tonight, and it'll be a packed house at Wascana Golf and Country Club.
Awesome. Should be fun. Okay, so tailgating. There's conversations now that the province and the city, they'd have to all come together to make this happen, but the riders insinuated that maybe next season there will be tailgating. What do you think?
I love it, Greg. I love it. I want to see it happen, and I want to see it happen the way it does, as enthusiastic as it does in the States.
Pull down the tailgate, pull out the grill, set up the tent. You bring your food.
Set up the cornhole.
You got your bevvies.
Yeah, exactly.
Cornhole.
Yeah.
But something tells me that it's going to be a watered down
Greg,
tailgating.
Greg, don't think that way.
Well, I know. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
Have you, you've tailgated, but, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. When you go to the States, I've been concert tailgating. Yeah. Like, outdoor venues that have, concerts even. They tailgate. It's crazy. But there is concern, obviously, about, you know, people bringing their own booze, their own food.
That's for the current chief of police to worry about, not this old chief of police.
What would the old chief of police say?
Well, the old chief of police say, well, let's work collaboratively, make sure we can do it safe. But I'm a fan of tailgating, and I know there's a way that this can be done. If there's a place in the CFL.
What's the way?
Well, number one, they may have to kind of put it, like, fence the area. I don't know, like, and I'm not talking about a permanent fence, but just something that designates this is where it
is. Breathalyzers on the way out at the end of the day?
You know what? I mean, at the end of the day, the rules don't change. There's lots of people that go to the Rider game and drink and whatever, and so you promote responsible drinking. You know, I mean, there's ways to do this, and obviously the police, the city need to be involved, but let's not forgo the possibility trying to get
this
into a regulatory nightmare. Let's just
don't sanitize it. Just make it happen.
Let's have some fun. This is Rider Nation. I love it.
All right. Maybe you should be running for chief of police again.
You don't run for it. But anyway, yeah, I know what you mean.
All right. Let's see what else is going on here.
Cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
I've got an expert on the show, an economist who studied cryptocurrency. You know, the funny thing with cryptocurrency is people are usually one of three things. Number one, they're skeptical. They have no interest in it. Yeah. Number two, they're interested, but they're tentative. Yeah. Or number three, they're all in. In fact, I was talking with my son, who's got a couple of buddies who are big into cryptocurrency. They think this is the investment that's going to pay off.
Well, and let's face it, stateside, President Trump seems to have made billions in cryptocurrency.
Well, and he's the regulations. I think he's probably a lot to do with the resurgence of this, because we know for a while Bitcoin especially was tanking. Yeah. But it'll be a good conversation. We're opening up the phone line, so people, if they have questions or they want to text in, they can, and our guest will hopefully be able to give them.
Well, you're
answers.
A little old fashioned.
I am.
Like you when know, it comes you like to feel this, and I touch am. Your money.
That's right. That's so, one of the questions I have for them. Is there an actual Bitcoin? Can I hold something in my hand? Can I put it in a pop machine and get a Diet Pepsi?
Oh, dear. Oh. How old are you? Okay, well, that will be interesting. That's coming up on the show. What else?
Well, we're also going to talk about AI, and we're going to veer into this AI chatbot. So AI companions, this is not only becoming a big thing, and lots of people will expose the virtues of this, but there's lots of cases where they're walking over the line, they're becoming harassing, they're becoming sexually suggestive, and there's, of course, very little regulation when it comes to artificial intelligence and how it's used. So again, I've got an expert on the show, and we will open up phone lines for conversation.
Okay. And Mayor Chad Buschinsky is going to be here after 7:30 and for his weekly visit. So we'll talk about tailgating.
I was going to say, you got to get this tailgating.
Well, yeah, we've got to get these issues straightened out, because he'll probably have his own concerns. Maybe you should join me with the mayor, because you're pretty adamant.
I think
about
it will be good. I'm all in, Greg.
Okay. 7:30, 7:27. But of course, Evan Bray is going to be back here at 8:30.